After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasure, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed their own country by another way.
What an awesome morning, huh?
Yes.
Am I by myself? What is that? I think it was an awesome morning. I mean, good gracious, we're talking about the birth of Jesus Christ. This is the story of Christmas. I mean, we live in a world where all around us, we get told all kinds of stuff about what Christmas is really about. And our hearts and our minds and our affections go a million different directions, and especially our time is time of year. Are y'all with me? At least our time is going crazy. But this, what we have been looking at this morning, what we have been hearing from God's Word Himself and been singing about, this is the story of Christmas. And this is an amazing and beautiful story. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It's not beautiful just because of the imagery that's involved. It's not beautiful just because of the idea of this cute little baby born in a manger. It's not beautiful because of the tradition or the memories that it evokes. It's not beautiful because of the beautiful poetry in which it is written. Do you know why this story is beautiful? This story is beautiful because it is about Jesus, the most beautiful person that the world has ever known, and that the world will ever know. This story is beautiful because it opens our hearts, and I hope it opens your heart, to the wonder of God. It is beautiful because it points our hearts to Jesus and invites us to worship Him. It's beautiful because it leads us to life. This is the Christmas story. And it is a beautiful story because it is about Jesus. And when I read this story, I love it. You want to know why? I mean, it's a Christmas story. We all love it, right? But you know why I love it? Because I'm in love with Jesus. I don't have any problem telling you that. And I hope you would tell me that too. I am in love with Jesus Christ. He is everything to me. And I love this story because this story points me directly to Him. That passage that we read in Matthew 2, the Epiphany, the first 12 verses of Matthew 2 that we're kind of familiar with the coming of the Magi. I love that portion of the story. I love it because it does, for me, it sums up a lot of what the Christmas story is all about, which we have been looking at this morning. And it provides opportunity for us to worship. There are several things that I see in the story, and I'm not going to take the normal time of a message, and everybody's going to be happy for that, right? Don't be too happy. But I do want to just point out a few things that I see in this story. The first thing I see is God heralding his son, Jesus. This is my son, and he is the Messiah. We see that in the Christmas story. God declaring to us that Jesus is the Messiah. The Messiah was God's plan of salvation for all time. Before the world ever began, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world is what we're told in the Bible. The Messiah was anticipated, foreseen, promised from the beginning of God's plan to have a relationship with man after man rebelled openly and blatantly against him. The Messiah, the long-awaited, much-anticipated, God-appointed ruler, the one who was to bring a total and final rule in this world and for all of time to come. The one who would establish a kingdom, the one who would never die, the one who would never see his reign ever, ever fade. The Messiah's reign was promised to bring life from death, to bring hope from despair, to bring light from darkness, to bring joy from mourning, to bring peace from turmoil, to bring healing from pain, to bring love from fear, and to bring forgiveness for sin. He would bring God's people back to God, and his kingdom would not end. The Messiah. And throughout all of history, we see that more and more and more and more revelation about the Messiah became known. From the nation of Israel, from the tribe of Judah, from the reign, the house of David, from the city of Bethlehem. And now it's here. It's here. The Messiah has come. Jesus, it is he. Come. The Messiah, my son, in whom I am well pleased. All of history points toward it, and all of history from it points back to it. God, in the Christmas narrative, is declaring to us that Jesus is the Messiah, the one whom our hearts in this world finds its center. In the story, I see God moving, not just declaring, hello, not just declaring that Jesus is the Messiah, but he is actually moving heaven and earth to bring all people from all nations to worship him. Not only does God just saying, here is the Messiah, but he is moving heaven and earth to get all people from all nations to see it and to come and worship, including you. I see in the Christmas narrative a virgin becoming full with child and having birth. What more of a pointer would you like? Do you know any virgins that have had kids? I don't, except for Mary. I see God bringing angels to a group of shepherds in a field, watching their flocks by night, and showing up in the sky and declaring to people peace on earth and goodwill toward men. And in this story in Matthew 2, I see a star rising to take its place and shining brighter than any other in the sky, such that people from the east, these wise men, who we know about, sing about, and sometimes put in our little nativity, they were real men who saw a real star that pointed them to Jesus. Now, the last time I checked, stars don't determine things like that by themselves. Stars don't move in a way by themselves just to bring people to a certain point for a certain end. There's only one being in the universe who can do that with a star. God. God is moving the heavens. God is moving the earth to point people to Jesus Christ. And these men aren't Jewish men. They aren't from Israel. They're Gentiles from the nations. And right here in the Christmas narrative, we see that Jesus isn't a select Messiah for a select people. He is the universal Messiah for all people, and He is the only way to God.
Amen.
God has a heart for people. He has a heart for all people. And He moves heaven and earth to get you to wake up and see that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the only way to God. And He is precious, and He deserves your worship. And He does the same today. Creation around us proclaims the glory of God. His creation declares His handiwork. If you miss Jesus, you've missed God moving heaven and earth to make Him known. And finally, I see in this story that God is inviting us. He's inviting you to worship Him. You see in that story in Matthew 2 that we just read, we realize that not everybody has the same response to the announcement of Jesus as the Messiah. Jesus as the one who would bring us back to God. Jesus as the one to whom all our worship is due, all of our life is due, the one to whom our knee should bow and our tongue should confess that He is God and He deserves our praise. The scribes and the Pharisees, when they're asked about where the Messiah is to be born, they give an answer. Oh, down in Bethlehem. Duh, the prophets say that. But they make no movement to actually know this one who was born, who fulfilled the prophecy that they discussed about. Totally indifferent. Didn't matter. We see some people today, when we hear about Jesus, it's just indifference. Doesn't make a big deal to me. Head knowledge, no movement in the heart. No movement in the life. Means nothing in the end. We see some people become really hostile to Jesus. You see Herod in the story finding out about the Messiah, the King of Kings, who would be the final King of Kings. And what is Herod? Well, he's the king. Not usurping my authority. I'm the ruler of my life. I set my own way. And so he does everything he can to destroy this one who might dare make his knee bow. Hostility. Anger. We see the same happen today. Hostility toward Jesus. You know what the main reason that people are like that? Well, there's two. Pride is the first one. Sin is the second one. People don't want to bow their knee because they want to rule their own life. They want to be their own God. And people are so infatuated with their own sin that they couldn't imagine what it's like to actually treasure something other than what they enjoy outside of Christ. The same with Herod, and the same happens today. But you know what? 2 Corinthians 4 says that God is actively revealing the glory of His grace to people in the face of Jesus Christ. And you know what happens when God does that in a human heart? Worship. Excited, joyful worship. It says that the wise man went with exceedingly great joy. Not just joy, exceedingly great joy. Right? They had been revealed who Jesus actually was. And you know what they did? They worshiped. They were seeking with all of their heart. They were pursuing Jesus. Nothing was going to stop them from getting to this one who was the King of Kings, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And they, even with their money and even with their power, which it's pretty clear that they had, they were ready and excited to bow their knee and sacrifice the best of what they had at the feet of their King, Jesus, who had come in the form of this baby. Indifference, hostility, worship. Where are you? What is your response? You want to know the key to worship? You can see it in their gifts. It's kind of interesting. What did they bring?
Gold.
Three things?
Gold,
frankincense, and myrrh. Pretty clear they knew who this child was. They weren't on a vacation and just stumbled upon him. They knew. They had been revealed who this child was. They knew that he would be the King of Kings. They brought gold, the best of the best. You don't show up in front of a king with nothing in your hand. You bring something. And you, when you show up to the King of Kings, upon whose name every knee will bow, you bring the best of something. They brought gold. Of his rule, there will be no end. The government shall rest upon his shoulders. They knew he was the King of Kings. They brought frankincense. Frankincense. A very specific incense. Only used in worship. It sat in the tabernacle right beside the bread of the presence. Its smoke went up as a symbol of the prayers of the people rising to God. And here they come and they lay frankincense next to the bread of life. And Jesus is told us in Hebrews to be the great high priest who would be the mediator between God and man. The word priest literally means in Latin bridge builder. Jesus would be the bridge builder between the huge gap that is fixed between the holiness and the glory of God and the wretched sinfulness and woefulness of men's heart. Jesus comes in as the bridge builder. The priest who would make the atoning sacrifice for sin so that there might be a relationship between God and man again. Isn't that beautiful? And Jesus now is at the right hand of God, and our prayers ascend to God through him. Frankincense. Gold, the king. Frankincense, the priest. And myrrh. Myrrh, inexpensive, one of the most expensive of perfumes, used majoritively in embalming the dead. Myrrh. Myrrh? Myrrh? A baby gets myrrh? This child was born to die. And I don't mean die like every single one of us are going to die. This child was born to die an early death. A horrific death. A cruel death. He was born to lay down his life. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. How are sinners saved? Yes, he is the king. Yes, he is the priest who will make the sacrifice. But do you know what the sacrifice was that was required? Jesus says, a body you have prepared for me. Jesus not only makes the sacrifice, but Jesus is the sacrifice. It is only through blood that there is forgiveness of sins, and only through the blood of the Lamb of God. That's why John, when Jesus shows up, says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus comes, the King of Kings, to whom all allegiance is due and every knee should bow. The High Priest in whom it mediates our relationship with God. And do you know how he does it? He does it through laying his life down for all who will look to him and believe and commit themselves totally to him and his purposes. He came to die. He came to die. At the very beginning of this beautiful story, there's a picture with myrrh that this child would die a bloody death. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and his only son, the king, the priest, the sacrificial savior, that whoever might believe in him would have eternal life, would not perish, but have eternal life. This is a beautiful story. Amen. This is the Christmas story. Jesus the Messiah, God moving heaven and earth to point people to him. All nations, all peoples, all tongues. and God inviting all people, including you, to respond to Him. How will you respond to Jesus this Christmas? I pray that you would see Him as precious, that God would open your eyes, and that you might come and adore Him, Christ, our Lord. We all sing with me that chorus. I'm not a good singer, but I just want to worship for a second and sing that chorus of O Come All You Faithful. And let this be a cry of your heart if you are ready to worship Jesus. O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord.
Sing, for He alone is worthy.
For He
thank you for being our Savior. We adore you, Lord. Amen.